Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you so much, Dave, and welcome aboard to the show this week. This week, I'm excited. I really am, because we have an amazing guest today, one of those great women that we love to talk about, Joy Hall and myself on Cool Jazz Conversations, and certainly on this show, Amy Shook, who is a rarity still because she's an upright bass player and just one of those players that you cannot get enough of. I saw her on my birthday the other day. She is with a new venture. She does a few, but she's with a group called Jazz Explosion. Greg Tompkins, who you heard on the show in the past many days on saxophone, Carl Filippiak on guitar, Lafayette Gilchrist on keyboard, and Robert Shahid on drums. She was just amazing. She'll be here next hour with us. In the meantime, music, I can't even tell you. It's just going to be one of those shows today where we're featuring some folks living and not with us anymore who have been and who remain legends. And we're going to start off the show with one of those folks right now. It breaks my heart when I see footage of him because he passed away too soon at the age of 44. This is trumpeter Woody Shaw on Hybrid Jazz with Trish Hennessy. Welcome aboard, and thanks for being there.
Right.
Is right.
Thank you.
Oh, mercy. I don't think I can say enough about Keiko Matsui. I was honored to be treated so well by Ram's Head in Annapolis on my birthday. Allison, my good friend, and I were seated at the front to see the breadth of Keiko Matsui's talent and to see this little puff of a girl with her hair piled high wearing these hot shoes. Allison and I wanted those shoes so badly. Here she is in high shoes. She's got the portable keyboard. She's at the standard piano, and then she's got another keyboard front and center with this band that bows to every whim. It was just phenomenal to see her do her thing. And, of course, we had her on Cool Jazz Conversations some days back, and she was just as beautiful inside as she is outside. She has a song that you have just heard, Awakening from the Road, dot, dot, dot. She has to let you know that dot, dot, dot thing is very important because it's the potential of what you can become. She was having us in stitches at the show on Sunday because she was talking about her upcoming tour. And the tour means that she'll have to go into Russia and to Siberia, very cold places. She knows that she'll be cold, and she's got the vodka already stacked. This is the only way she can make it through the next few months. The vodka is going to help, not only because it's going to warm her up, but because she'll be on a bus for part of that time, and the bus is not in great condition, okay? I don't know what the managerial situation is with Keiko Matsui and her guys on the bus, but it's an old bus, and she's going from place to place overnight. So just keep her in your prayers because she actually asked for that on Sunday at Ram's Head. Please do. Woody Shaw, we heard from at the top. That was an 11-minute song. Loved every minute. Time is Right from the Time is Right in 1983. Let me tell you something about this guy. Let me tell you a few things. Woody Shaw is one of those rare individuals born with a photographic memory and perfect pitch, a major conceptualist in jazz, generations ahead of his time. He was in middle school, and he was part of a situation in school whereby kids were choosing their instruments. He did not want to play trumpet. And his teacher said, you know what, why don't you just try it, because I have a good feeling about you and the trumpet. And sure enough, he took to it like a fish to water, and he became a flugelhornist, a cornetist, composer, and band leader. Folks have said that he's reminiscent of Erik Satie and Charles Ives and more. He listened to all sorts of music and loved jazz. Sidemen with Max Roach. He got it naturally because his dad was a member of the African-American gospel group, the Diamond Jubilee Singers. And Woody just was so amazing. Max Roach could not believe that the more challenging notes that he gave Woody, he just sopped it up. He saw it once and had it memorized. The interesting thing, and there are so many interesting things, born on Christmas Eve in 1944 and died on May the 10th in 1989, he had been struck by a Brooklyn subway car. He severed his left arm, and it resulted in complications, and he passed away from kidney failure from those complications. The weird thing is that he passed away around the time that Clifford Brown, let me see if I can get this right now. There was a June 1956 story about Clifford Brown, who Woody idolized, and there is some sort of correlation between he and Clifford. And I'm telling you, if you go and read anything about Woody Shaw, you're going to be fascinated about the kinds of, oh, moments that you're going to receive. What? Really? Just one sort of interesting jolt in the universe after another regarding this guy. Age of 44, he passed away. I can't believe it. And one of the only trumpet players that Miles Davis respected and made a big deal out of saying how much he respected him. So Woody Shaw, Time is Right. Pick that up, 1983. And Mulgrew Miller, by the way, was doing the keyboard work there, who was just awesome. Keiko Matsui, a different story. She's awesome as well. Let us do this, shall we? I'm just so excited about the music today. I wanted to play the song because it was one of those songs that we missed on the birthday show the other day. Can we just turn our attention to Nancy Wilson, please? Guess Who I Saw Today. Amy Shook next hour. Nancy right now on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy.
You're so late getting home from the office. Did you miss your train? Were you caught in the rain? No, don't bother to explain. Can I fix you a quick martini? As a matter of fact, I'll have one with you. For to tell you the truth, I've had quite a day too. I went in town to shop around for something new, and thought I'd stop and have a bite when I was through. I looked around for some place near, and it occurred to me where I had parked the car. There was a most attractive French cafe and bar. It really wasn't very far. The waiter showed me to a dark, secluded corner, and as my eyes became accustomed to the gloom, two people at the bar who were so in love that even I could spot it clear across the room. Guess who I saw today, my dear? I've never been so shocked before. I headed blind. They didn't see me passing through. Guess who I saw today? Guess who I saw today? Guess who I saw today?
I just had to play that song by a buddy of mine. I hadn't seen him for a while. When I do, and whenever he's on a stage, it is simply magical. His name is David Bach, B-A-C-H, award-winning, internationally known, and galactically connected. Because, yes, he is someone who is along the line related to Johann Sebastian Bach. And you can tell that something happened in that lineage that was just amazing. That is from David's CD, A Deep Breath. He actually has 4 CDs under his belt, and he has won awards as part of the David Bach Consort. He is based in the Washington, D.C. area, but so many people know him so far away from this particular area. That, of course, is the Police Song, Wrapped Around Your Finger. Isn't that lovely? And I really should. I really should. I'd even count on this. But I deleted a song just so I could make sure that Amy Shook, our lovely guest, is going to be getting her full service next hour as far as music is concerned. But I really need to tell you about some of the local and regional guys that were playing on that particular track, because David surrounds himself with the absolute best. On that track, Wrapped Around Your Finger, on sax, David Wells, who used to be known as David Wells, now he's David Mark, and I believe he's still living in Arizona, one of the best sax people ever. On bass, Gary Granger. On drums, Mark Prince. On guitar, Andy Shriver. On percussion, Ekendra Das, Hoppy Hopkins, and David Font. And on the tabla, Ekendra Das, who's just renowned in this area. If you ever get a chance to see, no matter where he is, because he travels quite a bit, David Bach and his consort, please do. He's just really worthwhile. Speaking of which, Nancy Wilson, from her second album, Something Wonderful, guess who I saw today? Arrangement by Billy May. MissNancyWilson.com has all the information. I'm chagrined to see, as of today, I don't see any upcoming tours. And our lovely sister friend, Griselda from Texas, and I were just chatting back and forth in the chat room, and we thought how cool it would be to see her in an intimate venue. I saw Nancy at Coppinger State. Is it? Copping State. Why can't I think of the right name for the school in our region, with Bill Cosby a couple of years ago? Oh, my God. She was just phenomenal. It seems like she's like a fine wine. She just gets better with age. But to see her in a venue like Ram's Head that's award-winning for less than 100 seats, it has been named best venue, that would be absolutely magical. Whew. And speaking of magic, let us do this. We left out one song, and that's okay, because we're making room for a longer track by Joe Zawinul. We're going to start off this 3-song set, and there's going to be some vocals, actually duets, 2 of them, and then Joe in the middle. We're going to start off with something that reminds me of a buddy, Slim Man, that we had on the show a month or so back, and he said that one of his great inspirations when he was about 5 years old and saw the movie The Five Pennies with Danny Kaye, he saw Louis Armstrong and said, all right, now, that's what I want to do. I want to be that kind of entertainer someday. How I'm going to do it, he thought in his little mind. He wasn't sure, but this is Louis Armstrong and Velma Middleton, All That Meat and No Potatoes, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Oh, joy.
doesn't bother me, honey, that a piece of roast beef can't fix up.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Pop. A man works hard, then comes on home. Expects to find stew with that fine ham bone. He opens the door, then starts to look in.
Say, woman, what's this stuff you cooking? Now all that meat and no potatoes are just ain't right. They're like a green tomato.
Here I'm waiting, palpitating with all that meat.
And no potatoes.
All that meat and no potatoes. All that food to the alligators.
Now hold me steady, I'm really ready. Now all that meat and no potatoes.
I don't think that peas are bad. With me, most anything goes.
Yes, I look in the pot. I'm fit to fight. Cause, woman, you know that mess just ain't right.
Oh, all that meat and no potatoes just ain't right, like green tomatoes.
Woman, I'm steaming, yeah, really screaming. All that meat and no potatoes.
You are listening to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
My heart is sad and lonely. For you I sigh, for you, dear, only. Why haven't you seen it? I'm all for you, body and soul.
I spend my days in a hunger, and wondering why it's your woman. I tell you, I mean it. I'm all for you, body and soul.
I can't believe it, it's hard to conceive it, that you turn away romance. Oh.
Are you pretending?
My life a wreck you're making.
You know I'm yours, but just a second.
I gladly surrender myself to you, body and soul. Pretending it looks like the ending, unless I can have one more chance to prove, dear,
my life a wreck you're making.
You know I'm yours for just the taking.
I'd gladly
myself to you, body and soul.
Woo! My gosh, I have heard that more than a half a dozen times now, and each time the chills get more intense. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and you just heard Tony Bennett's much acclaimed CD duets too with the late great Amy Winehouse. My God, body and soul. Now, the crazy thing is, you can imagine how here's Tony Bennett. He's in his 80s. He did this CD with Aretha Franklin, Willie Nelson, Andrea Bocelli, Mariah Carey, John Mayer, Lady Gaga. Please don't get me started. Why she should not belong on the CD. Josh Groban. This track was his favorite. He told Amy there was some sort of chemistry happening with them when they met, and he felt so close to her. And when he heard her, he said, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, but you remind me of some of the greats I've known in my life, including Dinah Washington. And she just, he said that she just sort of went into herself like a little girl and said, really? And he said, Amy, I mean it. You are unbelievable. And honest to gosh, it just tears me up because she was trying so hard to get herself together. And here she is. We can just enjoy her in retrospect now. God rest her soul. Tony Bennett, Amy Winehouse, body and soul. Joe Zawinul, recorded in Vienna. Phew, doggies. That was so sweet. In 2005, that was Brown Street, double disc. The arranger was Vince Mendoza. Didn't he do so well? Alex Acuna on percussion. Drummer Nathaniel Townsley on bass, Victor Bailey. Hey, sans Wayne Shorter, it's still Weather Report, right? Mercy sakes, that is good stuff. Yeah, I'm just in a zone right now. Joe Zawinul, who I love anyway because he wrote one of my favorite songs of all time, Mercy, 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 and thinking about that song, thinking about Satchmo. Satch plays Fats, as in Waller. That was Louis Armstrong to start the set with Velma Middleton, who did not get the credit that she deserved, by golly. Just one of those big old gals who was full of life and energy, did splits on the stage. She had been a dancer. There were some folks who said, Louis, do you think you have to have Velma in the group? He considered her family. She was with him from 1942 to 1961. She was on tour with him in Africa when she had a stroke, and she passed away a month later in Sierra Leone. And Louis loved her like a sister, and that was all that meat and no potatoes from 1955. How about that? Let us play a song. We want to get a couple of songs in here, and I see Amy is holding. I want to make sure that you hear a song that upright bass player extraordinaire Amy Shook has done with her fab trio. The reason that she's on the show today is to make sure you know that she is doing a couple of nights. Those couple of nights this upcoming weekend are going to be a recording session, which is going to be hot and happening. So is this track, Just You, Just Me, / Evidence. From the Fab Trio, this is Amy Shook on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Yes, ma'am. As we like to call her in our house, Amy Gitterdun Shook. Let me tell you something. T and I were at this wild, wild recital hall at Towson State University on Sunday, and here we were. We were just immersed in the idea that this was a benefit for Baltimore jazz education. And here's Amy Shook playing the upright bass in the midst of all this testosterone on stage. And, man, she's got more than most, okay? She is the all-time coolest upright bass player we have ever heard. T is right next to me going, dang.
Oh, man.
Amy Shook is on the phone with us. Amy, how are you, girl? How'd you like that intro?
Hey, Trish, man, you're hired. I'm telling you. You're hired. And tell T, thanks, buddy. That's so cool.
Honestly, and we wish we could have stayed till later, but had to fly the coop to see Keiko Matsui because it was a birthday. But I wanted to make sure that you knew that I was there because you were a lot of the reason why we were there that day.
Oh, wow. Well, Trish, thank you so much. I thought that I saw you sitting out there, and then I didn't find you later on, so I thought, well, maybe I was imagining things. But then I saw that you had been there on Facebook. You posted, and I appreciate you giving a shout-out, especially to that great program.
Oh,
You know, and supporting jazz education in Baltimore. It's, you know, it's vital effort, you know.
Oh, you know, because, I mean, your background is such. And Amy, gosh, explain that, because you are not from this region, although you live in this region now, but you had pretty much of a cool kind of jazz introduction when you were a little tyke.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm from Idaho, as you know.
Yes,
and
you are.
A lot of times we'll say, Idaho, you mean Iowa, Ohio? You know, Idaho actually does exist. It's in the Pacific Northwest, and it's not, you know, a major population density by any stretch. You know, it's an area where you can drive 100 miles and not see a soul, you know.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful area, but, you know, just not a lot of people, and certainly not a lot of jazz, although I have to say that in recent years and decades, it has been increasing there. You know, certainly where I went to college at the University of Idaho, the Lionel Hampton School of Music has, you know, that's what that university has there. And
wonderful.
With Lionel Hampton's name on the school. And so, of course, every year there would be a week-long jazz festival, the Lionel Hampton Jazz Festival, which is, you know, just a true treasure and gem of a festival that is still happening there up in Moscow, Idaho, at the university every February in the middle of winter in North
Idaho.
Oh, my
gosh, it's still happening. That is so
yeah.
good to hear.
Yeah, and it's just a... It's you know, I remember the first time I attended the festival, because it was a festival that was also dedicated to jazz education and, you know, really promoting, you know, high-quality jazz education and music and arts in not just Idaho, but the country. And so there
yeah.
would be jazz choirs and jazz bands from elementary school on up through college coming to, you know, do the friendly competition, you know, and be prepared and show their stuff. And so, of course, I was up there the first time in 1988 when I was in junior high. And I hadn't started playing bass yet at that point, so it was pre-bass playing time. Of course, the following year I picked up the bass, but yeah, it was just, you know, I had never experienced that music before like that, and certainly not on that level. I had no idea what I was listening to. I just knew that it really resonated with me.
And
you know,
and what was the inspiration? Who did you see for you? Because it's still a rarity. I mean, here it is 2011, and for women to do upright bass is still one of those, oh, taken aback moments.
I know, which is funny because there are, I mean, I am running across so many young women now that, you know, it's not given really a second thought except for whether or not their parents have a vehicle that will accommodate the instrument.
Gotcha. <Yeah. laughs>
You know, that is something you have to consider when playing an instrument like the bass or the harp. You know, you're kind of doomed to the station wagon or minivan for the rest of your life.
That's right.
Which is cool. You know, just get one with a turbo in it and you're good to go.
Or, you know what, you could get a Cooper convertible. I mean...
Yeah, or there you go, there's that. But it's not so good in the winter, though.
It's not
so good. But, yeah, you know, and I'm seeing more young women do this. And, you know, I had seen at that festival, it was amazing. I saw Dizzy Gillespie and Carmen McRae and Ray Brown. And that was, I think, you know, I mean, all of these performances just kind of blew me away. Like I said, I had never really heard the music like that. And I had certainly never seen it like that on such a big stage with that amazing energy, you know. But I remember specifically seeing the Ray Brown Trio, and at that time, Gene Harris was the pianist in that group, who, as you know, is a very, very soulful, bluesy type of pianist, you know, and there's just, you know, something about their synergy with Jeff Hamilton on drums. And then, you know, just listening to that trio, and Ray Brown, you know, just as big as life, and the groove machine that he was, you know, I didn't know what I was hearing, you know, because I didn't know how to listen to it, really. I just knew that, man, that's the stuff right there, man. You know, that was the stuff, man. Check that out, you know. So Ray Brown kind of started it all off, but certainly, you know, I mean, I ended up getting my first three cassette tapes. Okay. Cassette tapes. What are those? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But, you know, I remember saving up my dollars, and I bought three cassette tapes and basically wore them out. One of them was the best of Miles Davis.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was the best of Thelonious Monk. And then the other one was Wynton Marsalis's Standard Time Volume 1. And, you know, I mean, and of course now we just, I don't know if you caught it online, but live online you could watch the Jazz at Lincoln Center Wynton at 50 concert.
Yes.
Which just kind of blows my mind that he's that old, because I still remember, you know, being so young and the impression that he and his ensemble also made, you know, because they were also very, very elegant. You know, they always would dress. You know, I mean, you see how he is. He's very elegant. And then, of course, how he plays. And that also made an impression on me of like, wow, this is as serious as music gets, you know. And
by the way, it's his birthday today.
I know, it's today. It's very appropriate. And
yes,
it was just your birthday. So, you know, we're kind of celebrating a bunch of birthdays here.
Oh, honey, the week is young.
We're just getting started.
Isn't that wild? And you know, you're tripping at the notion that somebody that you revered for so long is turning a certain age. And I understand, and it's really, really hard to articulate because, Amy, you probably know. I mean, I turned 59 on Sunday.
You did
so
not.
I did.
59? Are you kidding
50
me?
Nine. No, I'm dead serious, and I relish it. I don't just accept it. I relish it just because of the fact that, you know, this is a very cool generation, and we learn so much. But mm-hmm. to see people that I revered, like you revered Wynton, and I see Sonny Rollins, who's 81,
just amazing.
You Masekela. Oh, my God, and some of these folks are still with us and some folks aren't, but the cycle of life and what you learn when you're little and what resonates with you when you're young stays with you forever.
I know. And it's funny, too, because you think about when people talk about, oh, well, my favorite music is thus and so. And usually that favorite music is music that they heard when they were teenagers. Because, you know, because that was the most dramatic time of life. You know, everything
yes.
was happening, and it was always the end of the world for some reason. Or you know what I'm saying? And so the soundtrack of our lives in that time period really made a lasting impression. And so for me, the soundtrack for me was, you know, the best of Miles Davis, the best of Thelonious Monk, and Wynton Marsalis Standard Time. You know, and then, of course, some Paul Simon thrown in there and some of that, you know, world music. But yeah, that, you know, that's it.
It's really interesting to see how the passion fuels you, and you must have felt fueled enough. You made a really big journey going from Idaho to the D.C. area, and that must have been a culture shock, because I have to explain to folks to see Amy Shook. She is a – she's going to say something to me, I know, but she's a beautiful woman.
Oh, my God.
With long hair and this naturally beautiful face, and she looks like the librarian that you had a crush on forever. Forever. And then you see her play that bass, and you go, oh, she's a lot sexier than I thought she was.
Oh, my God.
You have this image, and it's electrifying because people don't know. And then they see you on stage, and they're completely hushed up. It's a beautiful thing, Amy.
Oh, my gosh. You're hired. Did I mention that already? Oh, my gosh.
It is so cool, though, to see the look on people's faces, and they go, oh, look. Oh, whoa, look.
Oh, my
they just
gosh. Well,
stand back. But how did you do that? How did you make the move? Why? I mean, what was that all about?
Well, moving from Idaho out here, you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, my husband, Pat Shook, is a tremendous musician in his own right. He's a
mm-hmm.
tenor saxophonist. And we moved out to this area when he had taken an audition with the Army Jazz Ambassadors and ended up winning the position. So, we migrated because of work, which is good. And it you know, of course, for me, it worked out supremely, because this is one of the best areas to live in and play this music, really.
Honey, don't we know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, because there's so many of the greatest artists and inventors of the music come out of Baltimore and D.C., you know, and so
mm-hmm.
there's a very rich heritage here just for that. And, of course, you know, for me, as a transplant, I feel right at home. I feel absolutely right at home and have been just welcomed so genuinely, which is, you know, a true delight. And because I can say that it hasn't always been like that, not because of me as a person, but just from the preconceived idea of, oh, it's a woman playing the bass. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the expectation of failure, maybe, or just not living up to a standard. And so I remember one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was from a great bass player named Brian Bromberg, who we don't see too much of around for whatever reason, but he's a tremendous musician, both on upright and electric, and has his
yes.
own kind of sound, you know. But I remember, and I had met him at the Lionel Hampton Jazz Festival, and I had met, you know, so many great musicians, and I could, you know, talk all day about all the things that I learned from them just kind of in passing. But I remember one day he took me aside, because at that point I was still majoring in violin, and I finished that major, and I have that degree, and I'm very thankful to have it. But he said, you know, maybe have you considered making bass your primary instrument? That was the first
really?
Thing he asked me. And I was like, no, I'm self-taught on this thing. You know, how can I make that my primary instrument? Who will believe me, you know, or who will give me, you know, credence or whatever? And then the second thing he said was, and forgive me if this isn't appropriate, but he said, you need to play like you have balls.
Wow, Brian Bromberg said that.
Yeah. Sorry, Brian. Although I think he would probably be like, yeah, that's right.
Oh, but, yeah, he would.
You know, so those were the two things, you know, after I graduated from the university with my classical violin performance degree, I switched over and bass became the primary instrument, and it was the right choice, you know.
It sure was.
You know, it was the right choice.
Oh, my gosh, is it ever, because honestly, these days, Amy, I see you working everywhere, and I see the roster. That website is really cool, by the way. You've got a very, you know, up-to-date, thank you, Lord, website, and it's very attractive. That's not the right word I want to use, but it's compelling to make you want to enter the site. And then you've got these exciting things that you're doing. And listen, let me ask you, how many groups or trios are you in now? There's, what, three at last count?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the funny thing, and also the beautiful thing is that in jazz, and especially in this area, it's like it's a very much a community, and it's very much a family. And so I'm in maybe what you might consider a variety of ensembles, but there's usually one or two people that cross over and are in those other ensembles with me, you know.
Right, okay.
So, I mean, obviously I have the quintet with my husband, and then I have the trio, the Fab Trio, which we're kind of talking about and promoting for our live recording session this weekend.
Yes.
And then I have... certainly with Miss Felicia Carter, a fabulous singer-songwriter that we're
mm-hmm.
blessed to have in the area. Excuse me. And in each of these ensembles, there's commonality. And the main commonality is Frank Russo on drums.
Oh,
and
okay.
He is like my big brother. And he and I first met and still play in an ensemble, a fabulous trio with a guitarist named Rob Levitt.
And, oh, yes.
So Rob and Frank and I have been playing together basically since I first moved here. I met Rob within the first month of moving here, and a couple months later he invited me to join his trio full time. So
That's
I've been
awesome.
Playing with Rob for almost, gosh, well, I guess about 8 years now. And then from there, you know, Frank and I just had this musical connection. And then on the other side of that, I had started playing regularly with Bob Buda. And so it was kind of this thing where the Fab Trio hadn't yet been, you know, born, so to
right.
speak. And but because of my, you know, great amount of playing time that I had put in with both Frank in different ensembles and then with Bob either in a duo situation or, you know, as part of a rhythm section for someone else, it just was very natural for the three of us to play together because there was just, you know, very like a synergy kind of, well, and if you consider the rhythm section, the bass is the bridge between percussion and harmony. And so it kind of worked out for me to be the bridge between the two of them when we started playing regularly as a trio.
And there is, and synergy is a good word, but I love the idea that when we heard the initial song at the top of the hour, Just You, Just Me,
mm-hmm.
There is something to be said about the fact that if you close your eyes, it's not that you can see anybody performing in front of you anyway, but if you close your eyes, you can almost see that the three of you pick up intuitively on what the next move is going to be by one of the other folks in the trio.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Oh, it really is, and you can't buy that. You either have that, you can't necessarily learn it either. So it is intuitive. There was this great quote from Einstein that I just saw in the past couple of days that said that a gift is to use your intuition and your rational mind is something else entirely. And
mm-hmm.
folks seem to have sort of made the god in our society, the rational mind, and
mm-hmm.
forgotten about the gift that is intuition.
That's right. Well, and the thing is, you can't have one without the other. It's, you know, they both serve each other. It's just that, you know, when is it appropriate to follow which one? And, of course, with jazz, the thing I love about jazz is that it is the essence of the true human spirit, I think. I mean, it was born out of tremendous adversity. I mean, just, you know, some of the darkest days of the birth of our country. Mm-hmm. But out of that great turmoil and great ugliness came this amazing, beautiful art form that really could have only been developed and has only been developed in America and certainly has gone worldwide, but it had to have certain ingredients. And one of the ingredients was the sense of community, to where, you know, you would have someone who would be the musician, for example, and then a group that was listening, you know, and giving a shout out, almost like the concept behind the spiritual, you know, where there would be one person that would, you know, shout something out and everyone else would respond in some kind of way, call and response, you know, which then ended up developing, you know, I'm fast forwarding ahead decades into what it's become now, you know, this great music. But it has to do with the aural tradition and being able to have a conversation. There's a lot of emphasis in jazz education right now put on, you know, learning your scales and your harmonies and all that stuff, and that is extremely valid. That's the rational mind thing that you were talking about.
Right.
But that is no substitute for the intuition part, for listening. I had this great professor named Dan Buckvich, who's a tremendous influence even now with something that I use when I'm talking to other folks in you know, a teaching capacity, is to listen louder than you're playing. Because if you're just listening to yourself and not paying attention to what's going on around you, you're going to miss the conversation. You know, like right now I'm talking and you're saying uh-huh every now and again, or vice versa. That's exactly how it is when you're playing music. But if you were just talking at the same time and talking about whatever you're talking about and I keep going like this, then it's just a bunch of noise at that point, you know?
Yes, yes.
So
yep.
Call and response, give and take, and that intuition of, okay, just the time spent playing together and getting to know each other as family, musical family, and as, you know, friend family, if you will, although it seems a lot closer than that, certainly, you get used to how people talk, you know, and in this case, how people talk musically.
And, you know, it can't be said enough that the sense of respect has to be there. And that's why, gosh, I've seen you, what, maybe four times now, whether you knew it or not. But
really? You've got to come up and talk to me now.
Well, no, listen, I have to leave early, you know, some of the time, because on those particular days,
oh,
maybe
sure.
there was more than one thing to do. But it's always cool to catch you. Because of the respect that you have around you, whether you are playing with mostly men, which is basically what I've seen, or that day at the UB Blake Center when you had an all-female ensemble, which was just off the chain. Oh, my God, that was so crazy good. But the respect factor is so high, and, you know, you're talking as the evolved person that you are. You have to take into consideration a very basic, which is that you're assuming that when you're on stage, people are coming from the same place that you're coming from, which is that we want this ensemble to shine.
Mm-hmm.
We want
mm-hmm.
all of us to shine. So each of us will take turns, but we know the common factor that drew us together for this occasion. That is to make this piece soar.
Mm-hmm.
And
to make music together. Yeah.
Right. And honestly, Amy, you know, I just saw it the other day, and I won't even mention any names. It didn't come from that day that I saw you at Towson State on Sunday. But I saw in the past several days, I saw somebody try to do a solo, which the leader of the band clearly had made obvious that each person was to take a turn on stage to let the audience see the variable mm-hmm. talents. And mm-hmm. somebody just couldn't help himself on stage. He had to try to embellish on what was to be left alone.
Mm.
So, you know, when you say what you have said, that's a very mature musician. These are the kinds of musicians that we all want to see, because we all want to get healed when we want, when we go to an event. Whether we think about that consciously mm-hmm. or not, we want some sort of healing. And
well, and that is exactly along the lines with the whole idea that this music particularly has to do with community. It has to do with, you know, you celebrate your woes so that somebody else who may be feeling the same way can realize that they're not alone, that we're all in it together. That's really
yeah.
what the music is, you know, comes out of, if you look at it historically, that, you know, and the slavery and the terrible treatment that African Americans sustained, you know, this beautiful
mm-hmm.
music of, okay, we're in it together, you know, and we're still in it together. And that's how it has to be, because otherwise you're losing the true essence and meaning behind the music. You know, it has to be, you know, about, it has to be the, this in it, we're in it together kind of community. It's not about superstars. But there's a time and a place for everyone to get to say their thing, but it has to be within this realm of a community of, you know, deep love and respect for each other.
And it was so nice to be able to see all of you gathered at Towson State the other day. I can't say enough about this because, Amy, it's so good to see you be with these other amazing players, Robert Shahid and Greg
yeah.
Tompkins and Lafayette Gilchrist and Carl Filippiak, who, you know, so many people. Oh, my gosh. And there are people that come to see him from another group of folks, and,
right.
and then to see him doing his jazz thing, which he treasures,
mm-hmm.
it's just wild. And it was so obvious that everybody had this commonality, this mutual effort that we're going to make this a beautiful thing for everybody that's gathered. It was a shame that every one of those seats was not taken up, because
yeah.
to see those kids from Patterson Park Middle School play
great,
those djembes, oh my God, it was a high.
Yeah,
and Robert Shahid, he just picked up on the rhythms that they had. He was just smiling and getting into
oh, yeah.
it.
God. Oh, yeah. Truly. You know, I mean, and he's another very sensitive, intuitive musician. You know, you want to play together. You don't want to, look at me, you know.
Aren't I good?
Right. It's something that Bob Buda often says is that you don't want to sucker punch each other on the bandstand, because it doesn't make the band sound any better. It just makes the band sound bad. You know, and as you say, it's not going to be a healing experience for either performer or listener if people are sucker-punching each other. Now, there
right.
is room for fun-spirited competition. You know, certainly, you know, like you see in tenor battles, for example, or, you know, where you're trading fours, which is, you know, where you're taking turns, you know. But that's not the same as, like I'm saying, sucker punch, like trying to force your own set of reharmonized changes over the top of the band when nobody else knows what they are, you know, or, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of examples I could use, but.
Oh, yeah, it's just you know, you're basically saying, I want to be in the front seat with Mom, not you, okay?
Or driving.
Settle down.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
this whole scenario, explain this, because sadly for folks that are in the chat room right now, and by the way, we have some anonymous folks that are in the chat room, but we clearly have Griselda from Texas, and Micah Chevalier has joined us. And she wanted you to say, she actually typed it out, Amen, Amy, what you said earlier.
All right, Micah, how are you? And also, I think one of those other anonymous listeners, I think might actually be my parents in Idaho.
Oh, really?
So a big shout out there to Mom and Dad. Hi, Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
So,
Idaho, it's more than potatoes, kids.
That's right,
know?
Exactly. It's mom and dad, too.
That's right, it's mom.
Who, you know, what, you know, coming back to the whole, you know, concept of developing as a musician, if I hadn't had the unwavering support from both of my parents to do this, I would never have come this far, you know.
That's fabulous.
You know, so for any of you parents out there listening who has a child that is working on the music, and they may not sound supercalifragilistic right now, but if you give them the support, I'm telling you, it'll make all the difference, you know, and that could be exactly what they're meant to be doing. So don't discourage.
Yeah. Gosh, in thinking about that, and in trying to put a positive spin on this, you know, there's been so many instances where someone has said what you have said, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
And in thinking about it, you know, because I've got my son here, and he's deciding what he wants to do in order to make his way, make a living in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we're thinking about a bunch of things. But what does it possibly gain a parent to say to their child, oh, you can't do that, you'll never be good at that? What does it serve for you to say that and for a child to hear that?
It doesn't serve any purpose. All it does is potentially, you know, remove a gift from the earth that was meant to be here, you know.
That's
unless
right.
The child ends up having a very strong constitution and just a deep rebellion to do what they're going to do anyway, you know.
And that's been true. That's been true a few times that we've heard in these deep-seated artistries that people that we
mm-hmm.
relish have had through the years. But
mm-hmm.
they always have that residual anger and resentment. And what could have been a more joyful gift is less so because of sometimes, actually, the resentment that their parents have because they had a gift and the parent didn't.
Yeah.
We've seen that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. But, you know, thank God for the ones that, no matter what it is, if it's music, if it's science, you know, it could be a random thing like, you know, landscaping. You know, who knows? You
That's
know,
right.
But to always provide an outlet for discovery, you know. Go, if they're showing interest in bugs, take them to the museum and see what
right.
you can find out about bugs, you know.
Right.
You know, there's the I think the more that curiosity is quenched, you know, the better, you know, because you always want to have that thirst, that curiosity. And if you don't have that, then I think that's when society starts to stagnate, much less the individual.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Our creative arts are so important in our schools,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
gosh, coming back to that benefit on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
just can't say enough. Thank God for Greg Tompkins and getting this together, and for all of you to take part in just trying to enhance the image of what a jazz education could mean in Baltimore. Just played Woody Shaw a while ago, and learning about Woody Shaw, and gosh, he only spent 44 years on this earth, but
I know.
He had a teacher that was trying to persuade him in a gentle way, because Woody, when he was 11 or 12, he wanted to play sax, maybe he wanted to play keyboard, but all they had left was trumpet.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
And Woody Shaw we're talking about here, yeah.
Right. And the teacher said, you know, Woody, I have a good feeling about you and this trumpet.
Oh, my gosh. And that's an intuitive teacher.
Isn't he? And then he finds out, and I was trying to remember the story, and I looked back. Woody found out that when he started to play the trumpet was the exact time that Clifford in an automobile accident.
Isn't that just something else? It was the torch was passed on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, these gifts that we have and we pretty much know in our kids, they really do have to be, in paraphrasing what you said, honed so that this child can make a living someday with the gift that he was born to possess and to cultivate.
Yes. Well, and along those lines, I do a lot of work in D.C. in this type of thing with the Washington Performing Arts Society. There's a program called the Capital Jazz Project, which is an affiliation or a collaboration, I should say, between the Washington Performing Arts Society and Jazz at Lincoln Center.
Wow.
And we go into middle schools in the district and work with these kids and really try to teach the aural tradition of jazz, of using your ear, of call and response, and things like this. And we go into some schools are, you know, better off than others, as you can
sure.
imagine. And
yeah.
And the schools that I've noticed, it seems to make maybe not a bigger impact, but maybe a more dramatic impact are some of those schools in Southeast where the neighborhoods are rough, where the kids, you know, may be latchkey kids. When they go home, there's nobody there, you know,
yeah.
And the pressure to be in a gang or, you know, just be up to no good, you know, and the whole idea of the crab pot syndrome, as soon as one of them might be trying to get out and get a better life than the ones that aren't there, pull them back down, you know, that kind of thing. And we've seen some tremendous progress with some of these kids who are in the music program who have now gone on and been accepted into the Duke Ellington School of Music there in, you know, the School of Music and Arts in D.C., because of their work in music and deciding that they're going to do this and not go get in trouble and not bring a gun to school, example. And it's vital education because it teaches that you can have your individuality and that everyone, no matter what it is that you have to say, whatever you have to say is important. You know, instead of trying to fit in by being in a gang, for example, you now are trying to fit in by making music, you know, and all of the other things that brings besides just learning technique and how to play the instrument. But the whole idea of coming together, coming back to this idea of community, of being able to express yourself and no matter how it is you express yourself, because every musician, no matter how much they may try to copy someone they emulate, they are still going to play their own personality. Their own personality is going to come through. That's the great thing, I think, about jazz, too, is that you got all these personalities, and everyone is just as valid as the next, no matter
That's
what
right.
level that you're at, as long as you're trying, you know.
And,
so,
and with these kids, Amy,
yes.
you know, even if they don't go on to a creative endeavor where they're focusing on that for their life or maybe trying to earn a living by music, if they have that gift of music, that will be their oasis until the day they die.
Well, not only that, but the skills that you glean from just the whole idea of having to improvise.
Yeah.
You know, that is something that the whole concept of improvisation can be taken over into every other single career field. You need to be able to come up with something on the spot. You know,
that's pretty cool. You're right about that.
You know, and it's, you know, with music, we can say, well, it's kind of safe because you're just picking notes or rhythms or things like that. But, you know, the older you get, let's say your career field is rocket science. You got to improvise. You better make it count. You know,
that's right. We should have Tony Bunn here because he could tell you all about that. Because you know, Tony is not only a very gifted bassist, but he's also a rocket scientist.
I did not know that.
Yes,
that's fantastic.
Isn't that wild?
That's awesome.
Yeah, and as he's. And this is a cool thing. I have to throw this in. Tony Bunn, for the first time in his 54 years, he's going to be a dad any day now.
Oh, wow. Congratulations, Tony.
Isn't that wild?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. So, yeah, he could tell you a few of those things, and both left and right brain would be working as they told you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and here's another thing about music and music education. The younger you are when you start it, whether or not you continue with it through your life, if you work playing music, there's something that happens in the multitasking of having to work on your technique and then maybe reading music and then listening to try to blend with your neighbor or whatever, ends up creating more connectivity between right and left brain hemispheres. So instead of being just exclusively or more dominantly right or left brain, you're more mid-brained, and both the halves communicate more with each other because there's more connectivity.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
You have done your research, girl.
That is the truth, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, I think honestly that without going into some elements that will overwhelm some people, honestly, and gosh, it is so fresh in my mind because last night Joy and I were talking to Stanley Jordan on Cool Jazz Conversations.
Yeah.
And he's one of the more serene beings that could come into your midst. And there might be some interesting things in Stanley's scenario that he is on his way to discovering, maybe a misdiagnosis. I'm not quite sure. But Amy, he has honed his skills so much and been able to develop both sides of his brain so that he's got a degree from Princeton. He's got a degree from Harvard. He's going to school now to get his degree in music therapy.
Wow.
And then, you know, when you see him on stage, he's playing both keyboard and guitar at the same time. He is exactly what you have just described, the melding of both sides, so that the more godly a being emerges is what I'm really trying to say, honestly. And I see that with you because you've got some sort of light in you because you have been attracted to your gift at an early age and developed it, and you have sort of married both sides of your brains to become this full-fleshed human being as opposed to half a human being.
Wow, Trish, thanks for saying that. That is really something. Wow.
Seriously,
wow.
Yeah. You know, you stand out, and it's really neat because it seems like people gravitate to you, and it makes me happy because these are the kind of people that other people should gravitate to.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't take it for granted. I absolutely cherish and relish what I get to do and this gift of music. I mean, I just, you know, I am so thankful. And again, so thankful to my parents for being the support that they were because, you know, yeah, maybe I would have continued with it, but maybe not, you know.
Right.
But
or violin.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and the thing is, I still love the violin. I still play it, you know. It's just, you know, the bass kind of, that's the one that needs to be the primary. That's the out front one right now. But music is music. You know, I mean, you see the great Warren Wolf, who we're all very excited about, and I just played with him on Friday, and he's been working on the bass now, too. As you know, he plays vibes, drums and piano, and he's been working on the bass too.
I know, and
it's just music is music. Once you figure out the mechanics of how to make an instrument go, if you've already got the music, then it's just a matter of applying it to this new instrument or new voice, you know. But the thing is, I'm so thankful. No matter what musical situation it is, you know, I get to do this for my life's work, you know, and I'm thankful to God for it. You know, I'm thankful for all of the support I've received from both family and certainly friends and colleagues over the years. You know, and having big endorsements by those people who are kind of big deals, like Bob Buda, for example, who is you know, he's the man, you know, and he has played with pretty much everybody. You know, he's one of those guys that all the musicians know, but maybe not the rest of the world does. And to have his stamp of approval is a big deal. To have Frank Russo's stamp of approval is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
You know, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I could list, you know, we'd run out of time entirely if I listed everyone. But I'm talking about them just because we have this great trio and we're excited to get the opportunity to play together this coming weekend at Germano's, but more specifically to be able to do a live recording. And there's something, I mean, I love studio recordings. You know,
uh-huh.
I've done a number of them. I have countless numbers of them in my library of my favorite musicians. But when I come back to my favorite performances, they're almost always live ones.
Uh-huh.
And the reason is that sense of community again. If you go back to the time of, you know, New Orleans jazz, where you have, you know, they call it the second line. Well, the second line isn't like the next line of musicians behind the ones in front marching. The second line is everyone else that's listening and waving their hankies, right? And so to have the true community of the music, you have to have the second line there. You can't deny them. And the energy that the listener brings to a performance, it can't be duplicated in the studio. And so that's one thing we wanted to bring this to Baltimore because, you know, Baltimore has such a rich heritage. And certainly it's kind of a big deal, I think, because Bob is a native of Baltimore, and this is, you know, he's going to be recording live in his hometown, which is a big deal.
That's a great venue. Germano's is a great venue.
It's a beautiful venue, and they have, you know, the room is very intimate. It's like it's one of those classy jazz clubs. And so we're just very excited to be able to play together, but to also to experience that community with our friends and fans that are going to be there with us, you know. So we're just really excited about it.
And what times? Is it possible to still get reservations for both
Absolutely.
Saturday and Sunday? Yeah,
absolutely. And, of course, you can check out my website, which is just amyshook.com, and the information is there. But basically, if you go to Germano's website also, you can call them and make reservations. And then through my personal website, I have all of the information there as well about how you can make reservations. And we're also doing a special where if you want to attend for both nights, you get a discount. Yes. So this is a pretty cool deal. So if you're interested in coming just for one night, it's $20 per person, or $10 if you're a student with a valid ID. And then
That's
if you
wonderful.
Want to come for both nights, it's a total of $30 per person. So if you come the first night, it's $20. The next night, it's $10 if you are coming for both nights.
That's pretty awesome because, you know what, there is something to be said about the consistency of an audience, you know?
Exactly. Well, and Frank, he's so funny. He always says, now, if you come out and, you know, you shout and clap and you don't like how you shouted and clapped the first night, you can come and redo it.
He is a riot. Oh, my gosh.
So, if you don't like what you do the first night, come out and shout out the next night and make sure you get it on tape just like you want it. So, but basically, I'll just give you the address for Germano's Trattoria. It's in Little Italy in Baltimore.
Oh, my
God, yes.
You
know, come for food. You know, they will be serving dinner as well. So it's just like a cabaret supper club. Jazz club, you know, we're going in style. So Germano's Trattoria, that's at 300 South High Street in Baltimore.
Oh,
and,
man.
You can call them to reserve tickets at 410-752-4515. And you can also email requests directly to another gal who is promoting for us. Her name is Alana Bird, and she was, or is, I should say, the sister-in-law of the late, great Charlie Bird.
Ah.
And so you can email her to make your reservations as well, and that's just Elana Bird, that's ELANABYRD, at comcast.net.
Fabulous. That's fabulous. Now, we're going to go over a little bit. Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
Okay, because I wanted to do this. Now, I have put into the studio today two of the takes on Broken Teeth Blues from Felicia Carter and Amy Shook, Nothing to Do, the CD. So I'm going to assume that you want me to play the number 10 track, Broken Teeth Blues. Is that correct?
That would be great. Yeah, what we did on that album is we have all of our featured performances of our songs there with Felicia up front, and then we added what we call like the chaser, which is just a few Fab Trio instrumental selections, and this Broken Teeth Blues is one that we had been playing together as a trio for a while, and Felicia was like, you know, I would really like to write some lyrics to that, and I'm like, you absolutely should.
Oh, my.
We have both versions. We've got one on there with her singing as well as our guitar player, Donato Soviero, playing. And then we have the trio version, which I guess we're about to hear off of
yes.
that same album. And it was one of those things. It was written for two people in mind. Broken Teeth Blues, the main title. I had written this tune hearing Bob play on it because, man, no one plays the blues like Bob.
Yes.
And he happened to have a lot of broken teeth, which sounds horrible, and it was. But he's kind of got that taken care of now. But then the subtitle is Eleanor's Lament, and that's written for Eleanor Cheney, who is a stalwart pillar of jazz support in the Baltimore community and has been for decades. And she is a regular of the Caton Castle up there in Baltimore where we like to play.
Yeah.
And this was, it was just like down and gritty blues, and it was right up her alley. And I just was, when I was writing this tune, I had her in mind as well. So it's got double duty for that.
Man, you are not kidding. This is one of the coolest tunes ever.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Trish.
It really is, because you just do not know what is coming when you hear the initial boom, boom.
Well, and the thing is, there is a reference for this, too, because one of my very favorite musicians and composers is Duke Ellington, who is from Washington, D.C.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's a tune that he wrote called Happy-Go-Lucky Local. Most people will know this tune by its other more popular name, which is Night Train, which has been recorded by, you know,
Countless.
James Brown.
Yes.
You know? But if you go back and you listen to the original big band version of it, Happy-Go-Lucky Local, it kind of starts with this same kind of, like, almost like a train feeling. You know,
exactly.
Like a, you know, and it's very, very bluesy and very soulful, and that was also what I was going for. So it's, I guess, another salute to Duke Ellington, who is one of my favorite composers and musicians of all time.
Well, cool. With that, we're going to give you Broken Teeth Blues, Eleanor's Lament on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy with our special guest, Amy Shook, on the bass here.
Thank you.
I always laugh ahead of time because I always know what's coming at the end of that song, and it's just like the cowardly lion meets a choo-choo train going down the track slow.
Nice.
Oh, my God. That is so awesome. Amy Shook, who this particular track is from Felicia Carter and Amy Shook, Nothing to Do, and it features some beautiful musicianship. Frank Russo on drums and percussion, Bob Buddha on piano. And that was actually one of two takes of the same song. Felicia adds her vocals on the first time around, and then the second is just the three of these cats and kitties getting together and jamming. Broken Teeth Blues, Eleanor's Lament. That's hot, girl.
Thanks, Trish. Thanks so much.
Oh, man, that is just it just must be a high. Of course, I'm a radio disc jockey because I'm a frustrated musician, but it must be a high for you to be on stage when you know it's right.
Oh, man, you know, there's really nothing quite like it. You know, it's just it's very much like going to church. It's very, very spiritual, and it's, you know, a lot of times you talk with musicians, especially, you know, if you're feeling sick in your body, if you're not feeling well, and you get up on stage and it's just taking all the energy that you have to get there. But as soon as the music starts, you know, it, like we talked about earlier, being very healing, it's a sanctuary. It's where we come for not just physical healing, but also very, very much emotional and spiritual and mental healing. And it's a true gift to get to be a practitioner of that healing, you know, toward yourself as well as to others. And it's just,
yeah,
you know, music is truly healing, and it's a true gift, you know, true heavenly gift.
And that's wonderful that you realize that, because so sad that some people have such beautiful music inside of them and don't realize that it is a gift, and it's not just them, you know?
No, it's not, you know, and you look at you know, one of the great creators of the music, John Coltrane, and just consider how spiritual he was and how he recognized that and how he gave thanks for it, you know. And, you know, we just try to emulate that, you know, emulate that passion. I mean, you know, he was dedicated, you know, beyond what I think most people are dedicated to anything, you know. But that idea of that spirituality, and that's what it is, and trying to be a vessel of light, basically, you know,
yeah,
a vessel of healing, a vessel of you know, of this true gift, this spirituality, this you know, a way to bring you closer to God, you know.
And bring other people and on that path too,
yeah,
and it can't be said enough that we discuss this all the time on the two radio shows, but you have to honor what you hear. John Coltrane got into a scenario where he lost some people around him because they didn't understand the musical journey that he had to take.
Mm-hmm.
He was not the same John Coltrane when he started off that he finished with.
Exactly.
So, you know, people have to recognize that folks who are listening don't get the healing if someone is not in tune to what they hear in their head. They can't play what you tell them to play, because people understand the ring of truth. They understand if it's yours or it's somebody else's,
mm-hmm,
and they won't gravitate to where they're supposed to go in hearing the music if it's false.
Right. Well, and the other thing is what you mentioned there about John Coltrane not being the same person at the the back end of his career. I mean, that is what I hope can be said of me and these other guys that I work with, that we continue to grow, that we don't stop and become, you know, unwilling to get knowledge or unwilling to grow into new experiences because it's not comfortable, you know.
Right.
But to be, you know, to recognize the fact that change is imminent and you can either go with it or not, but to deny the truth of it is really, you know, it's a travesty. And we hope that we can just keep growing and keep stretching and keep learning and keep being vessels of life and light and healing and joy. You know, I mean, that's another thing. That's one of the things I love about music and I love about jazz, is that it is such a vehicle of joy.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's something for me. I love to laugh. I love to have a good old gut rolling laugh. And when I'm playing music sometimes with some of these guys, especially with Bob and Frank, sometimes it's just, you know, it's what you could say, joy unspeakable. It's like another presence in the room, and it's so cool. It's so cool.
Man, that is. Woo-hoo. Well, you know, I'm going to be there probably on Sunday. So
fabulous.
I will see you.
Excellent.
Yes.
And, you know, if T is available to come, bring him with you.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because, you know, he's a fan. He is an Amy Shook fan for
All right.
sure.
Bring T.
Yeah. Yeah. It might be important for him to see, because he really is starting to, oh, my gosh, he's had the love for a while of what jazz can be. And he actually... Amy, I have to tell you, he actually laughed at me because I was playing something earlier that he would have described as smooth jazz.
Oh.
And he said, "You are not playing that on your show today, are you?"
Oh, my God. He's a traditionalist. Look out.
Oh, look. I'm telling you, he is. You talk about Coltrane. He's got Coltrane next to his bedside every night. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
God bless him.
I know. So, yeah, we'll be there. And as a matter of fact, it's really interesting because the Baltimore Jazz Alliance would like me to write a piece about this particular night of recording. So you know, going into it, that it's going to be a joyful experience. And you know
well,
what
you're
I'll
hired.
Write.
I told you that already.
You know, there's going to be no negatives involved with writing up the piece.
Oh, you're just the best. I'm telling you. Like I said, you're hired. You know,
oh,
one day, Trish, I'm going to put you on retainer. You just wait.
Look, I'm hoping I can put myself on retainer. Okay.
Hey, girl. You know, I'm hoping so too.
Yeah. Well, it'll work out. Well, thank you so much. I know you spent a little time. Woohoo! This is pretty cool,
yes.
though. AmyShook.com has all the information about Germano's Trattoria, and that's where the live recording of the new Fab Trio CD is going to be this weekend.
That's right. That's right. Saturday and Sunday. Not Friday, but Saturday and Sunday.
Well.
So, yep.
Yeah. And honestly, this is a pitch for Baltimore tourism. If you want to make a day trip of it, this is it. This is going to be in Little Italy. The best food that you will ever have in your life is in this area at Germano's. Oh, my God. So you get the best of music, the best of jazz, and the best eats in town. Enough said.
And be a part of making some Baltimore history.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, tell Bob, congratulations. I know he's feeling really good about his home turf and a live recording right there in Little Italy.
Absolutely. And his grandfather had owned, I think it was called the Fioretta Club in Little Italy. So, you know, there's some ties there. There might be some mob ties, I'm not sure, but that's another topic for another day. But.
Oh, my gosh. Wait a minute, is that Guido at your door? Just kidding.
Exactly. Uncle Carmine is going to come. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yes,
so,
Baltimore does have a colorful history in that regard.
Yes, it does. It's incredible.
All right, Amy, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thanks, Trish. Yeah, and God bless you. You're wonderful, and keep this great program going, and I'm going to see you on Sunday.
Yes, very good. And tell Frank and Bob I'm anticipating that, and I'm going to see if T is amenable to it, and maybe I can even bring his dad along, too.
Oh, see now? See now you're talking?
Yeah.
You just let
now
me
I'm
know.
Talking.
You
okay,
just let me
cool.
know. Okay,
all right, Amy.
Okay,
catch
I'll
you later. See you.
Right,
bye-bye. Bye. Oh, my goodness. This is, hey, look, it went over, and this is going to happen from time to time. Amy Shook, who is in a couple of different endeavors. I saw her on Sunday with part of the Jazz Explosion that is new, that Greg Tompkins has put together with Lafayette Gilchrist, Carl Filippiak, Robert Shahid, and Greg on sax, Amy on upright bass. Anytime you can see her, she is a revelation. And I just want to thank her for spending the extra time with us. And let's do this, shall we? Let us tell you what is going to be transpiring when we do our thing on Thursday. Now, from what I understand, and I know that I'll probably get the confirmation tonight, but we had talked about this. If you have heard of the young gentleman named Matt Cusan, he will be our special guest on Thursday. Interesting thing about Matt, it's going to be fascinating as the years unfold. He's still a young man. He just got engaged to his beautiful girlfriend. Oh, my God. He has a voice that is so compelling, but he hasn't even scratched the surface of what he's going to become. He's extraordinary now, and he moves you to such a degree that you don't know what hit you. Brian McKnight thought so much of him that Brian became his mentor and has done some things for Matt that ordinarily superstars do not do. You're going to find out what's happening with Matt, where he's going, and he might have a little surprise for us on Thursday in the way of a new holiday tune. So be with us. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Again, thank you to Amy Shook. If you can get to Germano's Trattoria Saturday or Sunday or both nights, go to amyshook, shook.com. Find out how you can be a part of things. We'll see you. God bless you. Thank you for being there, and thank you always for your support. Thank you, chat room.